Proverbs chapter 8. And to connect it, I'm going to actually read the entire chapter. So you're going to want to pull out your Bible. I'm going to read Proverbs chapter 8, the entire chapter. This is woman wisdom speaking. Proverbs chapter 8, starting at verse 1. Well, actually, it's reference to Lady Wisdom, and then she starts speaking directly in verse 12. Does not wisdom cry out, and understanding lift up her voice? She takes her stand on the top of the high hill, beside the way where the paths meet. She cries out by the gates, at the entry of the city, at the entrance of the doors. To you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O you simple ones, understand prudence, and you fools, be of an understanding heart. Listen, for I will speak of excellent things. From the opening of my lips will come right things. For my mouth will speak truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are with righteousness. Nothing crooked or perverse is in them. They are all plain to him who understands, and right to those who find knowledge. Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot be compared with her. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and find out knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance in the evil way. And the perverse mouth I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings reign and rulers decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, all the judges of the earth. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yes, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I traverse the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of justice, that I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth, that I may fill their treasuries. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I have been established from everlasting, from the beginning, before there was ever an earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth or the fields or the primal dust of the world, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he assigned the sea its limit, so that the waters would not transgress his command. When he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him as a master craftsman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and my delight was with the sons of men. Now, therefore, listen to me, my children, for blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, and do not disdain it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. Forever, for whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. All those who hate me love death. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. You may be seated. Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for the reading of your word, and now help us, help me in particular in the preaching of your word, and help my brothers and sisters in Christ in the hearing of your word. Keep them attentive, lively. Help me preach in a way that's clear, faithful, bold, and helpful to this dear congregation that you have called me by your Holy Spirit to shepherd. And so we pray that this would be a blessed time, that we would be fed the truth of your word as it is in Jesus. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So this chapter is all about woman wisdom or lady wisdom, which is God's wisdom personified. So God's wisdom is personified in this chapter as a she, as a woman. So that's why it's been called woman wisdom or lady wisdom. In verses 1 to 11, it's talking about what she's doing. It's talking about her in the third person. She's doing this. She takes her stand. She's calling out to the sons of men. She's telling them these realities that wisdom is better than rubies and all the things one may desire cannot be compared with her. And so she's talked about in the third person. Lady wisdom in the third person is talked about as one who is calling out to the simple ones that they might be wise. That they might be wise. And then from verses 12 all the way down to the end of the chapter, really, Lady Wisdom is now speaking in the first person. In verse 12, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. And she continues speaking until the end of the chapter. And so Lady Wisdom is telling us about who she is, what she's like, what she loves, what she desires, and what we can expect if we hear and heed her wisdom. And so this is Lady Wisdom, wisdom being personified as a woman, telling us the way we ought to go. And so it's a personification of God's wisdom. Now we really pick up is Lady Wisdom in light of creation. One of the most monumental events in human history is when God made the world in the space of 6 days and made it very good. That was a monumental event. And Lady Wisdom is going to tell us in this section about her involvement, her being there in creation, and about how important her wisdom is, knowing her as the one who is with the Lord our God in creation as personified. And so the main point of this sermon is Jehovah's wisdom in creation. And blessed is the man who keeps her ways and listens to her. Jehovah's wisdom in creation. And blessed is the man who keeps her ways and listens to her. My first point, Jehovah's wisdom in creation. Jehovah's wisdom in creation. My second point, blessed is the man who keeps her ways and listens to her. So again, my first point, Jehovah's wisdom in creation. We see that at the beginning of this section, verse 22, it says, the Lord, or Jehovah, possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old. And so Lady Wisdom, who's speaking, is saying that Jehovah, the God of heaven and earth, possessed me at the beginning of his ways. Before his works of old, he possessed me. Because wisdom, Lady Wisdom, is a personification of God's wisdom. And therefore, because wisdom is an eternal attribute of God, it's personifying that perfection of God, namely that he is the all-wise God, as Lady Wisdom. Some people, and I can understand why, have thought that Lady Wisdom here, particularly in this section, is a reference to Christ himself. As I've studied it, listened, thought about it, I don't take that view that it's a reference to Christ himself. I take it as a reference to Christ's wisdom, but not Christ the person. So it is Christ as our creator, as the second person of the Trinity, the triune God, Father, Son, and Spirit, making all things, that it's his wisdom. But it's not a reference to Christ, not least of which it would be pretty interesting to think that Christ is an incarnation of Lady Wisdom, because we know Christ is male. So there's problems if you think that it's a direct reference to Christ and not better understood as a personification and poetic-like language of God's wisdom. And therefore, it's going to sound a lot like God, because it's a personification of the wisdom of God, but not directly the person of God in the sense of it's not a direct reference to Christ. It's talking about the triune God, including the second person of the Trinity's wisdom, a personified wisdom. And so Jehovah possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old. So before God made the world, before he made anything, God was wise, and God had his wisdom, as we're personifying it in this text. God had his wisdom, and before his works, before he made anything, God had his wisdom. She was with him. Lady Wisdom was with God, a manifestation of who he is. God cannot be anything else but wise. He is the all-wise God, and therefore the God who, before he created everything, was wise. God did not become his perfections, but he merely is his perfections. All the attributes of God are true about God from before time, during time, when in the eternal state, God will always be wise and will always have his wisdom. So God, before time began, was wise. And Lady Wisdom is a personification of that wisdom. It says in verse 23, I have been established from everlasting, from the beginning, before there was ever an earth. Lady Wisdom was with God before time began. Before time began, God had his wisdom. Again, this is personification, poetic-like language. What we don't want to think is that there was God, and then there was another God named Lady Wisdom. That's not what is being said in this text. What's being said in this text is it's a personification in poetic-like language of God's wisdom being manifested in personification of Lady Wisdom. And so she was established from everlasting. Before there was ever an earth, she was there. Lady Wisdom was there. God's wisdom was there. And so that, and then she goes on to say, when there was no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. So God had his wisdom before creation, before anything was made. Before he ever said, let there be lights, before ever he made the animals or the sun or the moon or the stars, before he made anything, wisdom was there. Lady Wisdom was there. And she was his companion. Again, personified. God was a God of wisdom before time began. And before time began, God was in his infinite wisdom decreeing and purposing to create all things, to sustain all things, to redeem his people, and to consummate all things. That's what we talk about, God's eternal decree. Now, before time began, in God's infinite wisdom, he declared the end from the beginning. And he purposed that he would make the world. He purposed that he would sustain the world by the word of his power. He purposed that he would redeem the world in and through his son. And he purposed that at the last day, he would send back his son to consummate all things, to judge his enemies, and to save his people. So before time began, God was purposing these things. And while he was there, while that was happening, Lady Wisdom was with him as his constant companion. Because God does all things by and through his wisdom. And so before there was anything, Lady Wisdom was there. She even says, while as yet he, namely God or Jehovah, had not made the earth or the fields or the primal dust of the world. So she's pointing us first to before creation. Before creation, she was there. God had his wisdom before time began. And let me just say this. The reason why she is saying all this is because she wants us to know how valuable it is to have wisdom. That's the point. That's going to be the climax of this text. How valuable it is for us to have wisdom. And she's saying, before time even began, before the creation, I was there. I was there. And therefore, God's wisdom is so crucial to have because she was there before creation. Before creation. And then she was there during creation. Verse 27, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep. I'll stop there. God made all things by and through wisdom. One of the things that we see that is presented even to the natural man in natural revelation, in what God has revealed in creation, is that God is wise. That's one of the invisible attributes that the heavens declare. They declare that the God who made all things is infinitely wise. To have the sun just far enough where we don't freeze to death. or just far enough that we don't burn, and just far enough that we don't burn, and close enough that we don't freeze. That everything is perfectly in order, everything is perfectly set, so that we don't freeze to death, and so that we don't burn to death. And so God has made the sun and all the different things in our world in such a way so that we do not fry, and so we do not become too cold, so that we have exactly what we need. And so the creation of the world shows forth God's wisdom. That's one thing that the heavens declares. They declare the glory of God. They declare that he is wise. That he is wise. It probably doesn't hurt to say it here, that the Bible is clear that the world was made in literal 6 24-hour days. Not in ages, not in this long span of time. Genesis 1, 2, and 3, particularly Genesis 1 and 2, the creation account, is to be read as actual history. That God made it actually one day, second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day, sixth day, and then rested on the seventh. That was giving us actual history of how God made the world. We know this because in the fourth commandment, one reason we know this is in the fourth commandment, God says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you work, one day you rest. Because his example, just like we have 6 24-hour days to work and 1 24-hour day to rest, God worked and made the heavens and the earth on 6 24-hour days and rested on the seventh. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that's in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. And so in the moral law of God, the Ten Commandments, God shows us the pattern of work and rest based on his example of working and resting. And so when God made the world, he actually made it in the space of 6 days. Our confession, the 1689 confession, actually says this explicitly on his chapter on creation. It says this. This is chapter 4, paragraph 1. Quote, in the beginning, it pleased God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit for the manifestation of the glory of his eternal power, wisdom, and goodness to create or make the world and all things therein, whether visible or invisible, in the space of 6 days, and all very good, end quotes. And so our confession teaches clearly that God made the world in the space of 6 days. And so wisdom, as personified, Lady Wisdom, when God was making the world, he was making it as it explicitly is said in Genesis. First day, second day, third day. We also know this as well, because one of the key ways that Moses, by the Holy Spirit, was trying to make sure we understood that this was an actual day, not figurative, was evening and morning, the first day. Evening and morning, the second day. Making it clear that these weren't figurative things. It was an actual day, fourth commandment, our pattern after God, working and resting. Saying evening and morning, the first day, showing forth that these were actual, literal days. And Jesus also says in Matthew 19, talking about divorce, have you not read that he who made them from the beginning made them male and female? The evolutionary thinking is man was made way down the line. Jesus says they were actually made in the beginning, at the very beginning. During that creation week, we know they were made on the sixth day, and they are made in the image and likeness of God. And so for those different reasons, we believe and we ought to confess that God, by his wisdom, made the world in the space of 6 days, and he made it all very good. I love a quote that our brother Vody Bachum says. He says he was, I guess, at a college campus, if I remember it right, and he would say to them, these people think this crazy, wacko, kind of fundamentalist guy that believes the Bible, and he would tell them, he would say something in effect, do you think I believe God made the world in, or no, he would say something like this, I don't believe God made the world in 7 days. I believe he made in 6. And he's making the point to these college students that he's making the point, of course he believes Genesis actual history. And he's doing it in a way to get them to think that he didn't make it in 7, he made it in 6. And this is also crucial too, that we believe this, because much of our doctrine and our thinking is based on creation. We understand that, right? Genesis 1 to 11 is crucial for our thinking. And therefore, we must take it as literal history that God actually did this way. Let me tell you a couple reasons. One is because, is death a result of the fall or something that came before the fall? If we don't take it literally, there was death before the fall. But the Bible says explicitly that death is a result of the fall. That death came through sin, not before the fall. Also, too, it teaches us the reality of what are things that we are to give ourselves to because they're creation ordinances and therefore are perpetual, ongoing, forever. Namely, marriage, procreation, work, and Sabbath. All these were instituted in the garden. In God's pattern of Sabbath, in God calling Adam to work, in marriage, the two becoming one flesh, and the ordinance of procreation, being fruitful and multiplying. These things are foundational to a healthy society. That they are giving themselves to work and Sabbath and to marriage and procreation. These things are essential. Also, too, we know that in creation, as what it shows us, is the order that God has put in society of male leadership and women helping. The reason why women are not to be pastors in the church is because Adam was formed first and then Eve, pointing to creation. And also the fall, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression. Order and roles are based on creation and how God made the world. Why do we wear clothing? Genesis 3, because of the fall. Why is there different languages? Genesis 11, because of the Tower of Babel. All these things are connected with the first 11 chapters of the Bible. As we read them as actual history, we realize that these things give us so many foundational truths that are to root and ground us in what God wants. Also, too, when someone says, why was there polygamy in the Old Testament? We would say, because people were sinning. Because the pattern that God gave was one man and one woman, the two shall become one flesh. All these rooted and grounded in Genesis. And when Jesus was a lot of times making a case or at different times in his ministry, he pointed back people back to the Genesis account. Have you not read? Particularly in Matthew 19, he pointed them back to Genesis chapter 2. And so it is crucial that we believe and hold fast to the reality that what God said in Genesis 1 to 11, particularly 1, 2, and 3, is actual history. Let me say another thing. Some people who deny these chapters will go so far to say Adam was a mythical figure. Professing Christians will say Adam was just a representation, but wasn't an actual literal man. You know the trouble with that is Paul, by the Holy Spirit in Romans 5 and in 1 Corinthians 15, compares Adam and Christ and says through the first man, Adam, through Adam came death and judgment. Through Christ came life and salvation. In Adam, all die. Those who are in Christ shall be made alive. And so if Adam was just a mythical figure, wasn't actually real, then Jesus might have been a mythical figure that wasn't real, because Paul, in particular, points them as the two key figures of death and salvation. Also, too, if there wasn't an actual fall, if Genesis 3 wasn't an actual fall that actually happened, why do we need a Savior? Why do we need rescue? Why do we need salvation if there wasn't an actual fall in the beginning in Genesis 3? So all these things are important that we hold fast to and dogmatically hold to the fact that Genesis to be read as history. An actual true history that teaches us about how the world came to be, what's wrong with the world, and how things can be made right. And so wisdom, back directly to our text, wisdom was there. God, by wisdom, made the heavens. He drew a circle on the face of the deep. He established the clouds by wisdom. He strengthened the fountains of the deep. He assigned the sea its limit, so the waters would not transgress his command. Sometimes we look at that text, and some people, if they're skeptics to the word of God, could say, well, that's kind of funny because of tornado or tsunamis and these type of things. Well, God permits and ordains those things to happen as an act of judgment on our fallen world. It's not that God has lost control of things. We live in a fallen world, and therefore God permits and ordains that there would be effects of living in a fallen world. But ordinarily, the waters go, ordinarily they go to a certain place and they go back. God in judgment or because of a fallen world allows them to cause tsunamis and different things. But it is a beautiful thing. When you see the water, it goes exactly there, exactly back. Exactly where God wants it based on the tides and all those things. He assigns limits to its limit so that the waters would not transgress his command. He marked out the foundations of the earth. So Lady Wisdom, namely God's wisdom personified, the triune God's wisdom, was there at the beginning. Was there before the beginning and when God was making everything in the beginning. Lady Wisdom was there. She was, as we'll see, his master craftsman. As wisdom is personified, she was there. As God was making all things in the space of 6 days, and he was making it all very good. Everything was made very good because the God of wisdom was making it. And then verse 30, then I was beside him as a master craftsman, and I was daily his delights, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and my delight was with the sons of men. Lady Wisdom was as a master craftsman because God was making all things by wisdom. She was daily his delights as he was making all things beautiful and wise and glorious in wisdom. She was rejoicing in his inhabited world, and she was her delight was with the sons of men. She was delighting in, particularly above everything else, the sons of men, namely those who are made in God's image. The crown jewel of creation, namely male and female, those who are made in the image of God, those who are the image of God. And so Lady Wisdom was like a master craftsman, rejoicing always before him. And again, personifying wisdom as the one in whom God made all things. Therefore, the creation itself shows forth day on a day, night on a night, God's wisdom. And so wisdom is crucial because it was involved before creation with God as God's eternal wisdom personified, and in creation as God's eternal wisdom personified. And now in light of that, second point, blesses the man who keeps her ways and listens to her. Now, Lady Wisdom continues to speak. Now, therefore, listen to me, my children, for blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, and do not disdain it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. In light of all that Lady Wisdom has said about her value, her worth, how good it is to have her, in light of her being before creation and involved in creation as the personification of God's eternal wisdom, she says, listen to me, my children. Blessed are those who keep my ways. There is a blessing. There is a great gift and a great encouragement to God's people when they walk and know wisdom. Some of you can probably think that there were things that you wish you knew through Lady Wisdom when you're younger that would have kept you from a lot of harm. And she is saying that blessed are those who keep my ways. There is a blessing. I wish I would have known Lady Wisdom before. And she's saying, my children, you don't want to have those scars. So listen to my ways. Blessed, happy, delightful are those who keep my ways. Those who hear them and heed them. Blessed are those who keep my ways. She says it's good. It's wholesome. It's right. She says, hear instruction and be wise and do not disdain it. She's saying, hear what I have to say. Hear my instruction. Be wise. Don't disdain what I'm saying. Don't shrug it off. Don't think you know better. You weren't there before creation. You weren't there involved in creation. So therefore, don't disdain what I'm saying to you. It's like God in the book of Job. When Job is questioning God's ways, he says, were you there when I laid the foundation of the earth? Were you there when I did all these things? The answer was obviously no. And so God was having Job reminded that he's the creature and God is the creator. And Lady Wisdom, a personification of God's eternal wisdom, is saying, hear my instruction and be wise and do not disdain it. Don't think you're wiser than you are. Don't think that you can do it on your own. Don't think that you can solve life without God's wisdom. Don't think that you can walk in a wise way without knowing God's truth. Don't think any of that. Don't be fooled by that to think you can do it better than God, than God's wisdom. Don't be fooled by that. She's saying, don't hear instruction and be wise. Don't disdain it. Why? Because there are going to be people who are going to disdain wisdom. Say, I don't want it. I know better. I know people have tell me they have scars from it, but I'm going to be different. I'm going to be the exception. I'm going to be one it doesn't happen to. And they disdain wisdom. And then blesses the man who listens to me, watching daily my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. I was listening to Pastor Pollitt for my own edification and think about this text. And he was saying, he made an interesting point, that in our culture, so many people wait diligently or will go out of their way to see their famous favorite athlete or favorite music star or favorite actress or actor. They'll be waiting daily at their gates. They'll do whatever they can to get an autograph or to shake their hand or talk to them. We should be people, by God's grace, who are so desirous to hear and to know Lady Wisdom that we wait daily at her gates. We wait at the post of her doors. What does that look like? By hearing the Word of God, meditating on the Word of God, knowing the Word of God, and living by the Word of God. That's what that means. That we should be those who are blessed because we listen to Lady Wisdom, which is listening to the Word of God. We wait daily at our gates. We wait at the post of our doors, which is hearing, heeding, and following God's eternal wisdom given to us in the 66 books of the Old and New Testament. Genesis to Malachi, Matthew to Revelation. And so we should be people who are daily and desirous to hear what God says. We should be people that don't do things just because. We should do things because they're according to God's wisdom. Because they're according to God's wisdom. We should be waiting. We should be the blessed man who waits daily at God's gates and God's posts and God's door, walking in his truth. Because she says, "For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord." When we find Lady Wisdom, we find life. In Christ, who Lady Wisdom points us to, because it's God's eternal wisdom, we find everlasting life. And then we find sanctifying life. We find what it looks like to live in God's world faithfully. We also obtain favor from the Lord, meaning, similar to how I preached on the Beatitudes, we are objectively blessed by God. We live in God's favor and smile when we are walking and heeding and doing the wisdom of God. We are objectively blessed by God. We have his favor. We find life in wisdom, and we obtain favor from the Lord by having wisdom. And so wisdom, as it says in Proverbs 4, is the principal thing. Because to know wisdom is to know Christ, the one who is the wisdom of God and the power of God. To know wisdom is to know the one whom God sent, that we might have life and salvation. Jesus is wisdom incarnate. Not, I don't believe Lady Wisdom incarnate. I think this is about Christ's wisdom or God's wisdom personified. But Christ is God's wisdom. He's the wisdom of God. He's the power of God. And Scripture is given that we might be made wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So coming to faith in Christ is a matter of God giving us wisdom. And then verse 36, "But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. All those who love me hate death." So if we disdain, reject Lady Wisdom, we wrong our own soul. What she's saying is, if you reject what I'm saying, you're only hurting yourself. You're not going to hurt me. I'm God's eternal wisdom. What are you going to do to me? You're not hurting me. You're only wronging your own soul. You're hurting yourself. And this is the folly of people that will not listen to God's wisdom in his word and by godly people. All they're doing is hurting themselves. They think they're helping themselves. They think they're being wiser than them. They think they're being smarter. But all they're doing is hurting themselves. They're wronging their own soul. They're basically saying, you know what? I'm just going to stab myself in the chest by rejecting wisdom. I don't want to. I'll just stab myself in the chest. Because those who sin against Lady Wisdom, those who sin against God's wisdom, just wrong their own soul. They harm their own soul. They think they're doing themselves good, but really they're harming themselves. And all those who hate me love death. Those who hate Lady Wisdom, they love death. This is why in our culture people are out of their minds that abortion might be overturned. It's crazy to think, because they love death. Those who hate God's wisdom, they love death. And they want to have the freedom to love and pursue death. But he who sins against Lady Wisdom, God's eternal wisdom, wrongs his own soul. Boys and girls, everybody here, let us not be wiser than God. This is where humility comes in, where we say, we're not wiser than God. We don't know better than God. We don't know better than Lady Wisdom, God's eternal wisdom personified. And we say, if God says it, it's best for me. Even if I don't understand it always, even if I don't understand exactly where the pieces fit, I know that if God said it, it's best for me. And I'm blessed, and I find his favor, and I find life when I hear and heed what he says. Not doing it my way, not doing the way I think it should be, but according to God's truth. For those who are lost, you need the wisdom that can only be found in Jesus Christ. The wisdom that can be found in the one who is the power and wisdom of God. And if you reject Christ, all you do is wrong your own soul. All you do is forsake your own good. But in Christ, there is life, salvation, hope, and forgiveness to those who receive it. And so may we be a people who love God's wisdom, that don't reject God's wisdom, don't disdain it, don't fight against it, but love it. That we might be marked as a people who want to receive favor from the Lord. That we would desire to live our lives based on what God's word says, and not based on our feelings, not based on what culture says, but what God's word says. And saying, if that means I have to change to follow more after Lady Wisdom, I'll change. If that means I have to be more diligent in this area, I will. If that means I have to set things aside, I will. Because I want to, above everything else, obtain favor from the Lord and walk in his ways. May God make us a wise congregation that loves Lady Wisdom, the personification of God's eternal wisdom in Christ by the Spirit. Amen. Our Father, we thank you for your word. We pray you would help us to hear it and to heed it and to follow after it. In Jesus' name, amen.